This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Monday, President's Day, continuing with the conversation as we started BT a couple hours ago. Just it feels to me, at least at the root of the issues that we have, because there's been a lot of complaints coming off the weekend with the NBA All-Star Game and the format and the stupid, you know, idea that Chris Paul and Wembanyama had to throw that skills competition contest. Like, there's just a lack, for me, at the core of it. You could come up with all these creative ideas and all that, a lack of competition. And that's why I think people got behind the Four Nation game with USA Canada, where there was a great level, a high level of competition, even so, in my opinion, higher than the normal NHL level, which is a whole nother conversation. But just, I think, the root of the problems that we have in sports, professional sports, the highest level of competition is just not there.
You know what worries me too, Sal, because, you know, and you referenced the game yesterday. You watched some of that St. John's game. We'll touch on it a little bit later. But just to you know, kind of create a thread here, the pro to the college game. And yes, there's much more urgency collegiately, but you know what happens when these kids start making more and more and more and more and more money? Does that start to change the way even the college players begin to attack their craft? Hopefully not. Listen, I wish I had a magic wand. I don't. I would just wave it over pretty much every sport outside of hockey, even though I recognize there's a bit of a drop off from the regular season hockey stuff than there's been with the Four Nation stuff, which for the most part has been pretty riveting. Hockey fans are loving it. It's just an imbalance and a big disconnect between what the average consumer takes home as a salary, what they have access to, and these players are now, they're no longer athletes, they're entities. And I think it turns a lot of people off, and it's a massive schism right now.
Do you think it's the money or the analytics or a combination of both? Like, I think sometimes, and we have these conversations, you and I go back and reference our time, probably more so than anybody, maybe even more so than we should, but I think sometimes it feels like, oh, well, back in that day, back in our day, they cared more. I don't know if that's necessarily the case versus all the amount of money, and you kind of alluded to this earlier where... yeah, they cared. It seemed like they cared a lot more back then, and it was a prideful thing. Now maybe they don't have to because they're making all this amount. But I don't think it's on the individuals that don't necessarily care as much because they grew up as athletes trying to play the sport, whether it's motivated by money or not.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it's more analytics and money-driven in today's sports world?
Yeah, that negatively impacts the fans, obviously, you mean, right?
Well, or the athletes not competing at the highest of levels.
That could work both ways. Yeah, I think that I don't think the analytics... well, maintenance days obviously impacts how hard and how often the players play. I do think that the analytics... like, that was one of the early... if I look back at some of the gripes fans have levied at pro sports for a while... you know, the salaries, that's never bothered me because you have a skill that's indispensable that you don't have, that I don't have, that Hoff doesn't have. And when you're going to, you know, it is what it is. So, I don't begrudge people for making that kind of money. If you're Tom Cruise in 1990-something getting $25 million a year, or to make Mission Impossible or Jerry Maguire, you can do something that others can't. So I don't have a problem with that. But I think now, I think the analytics, I do think it's become... less about passion and more about applying data steal your phrase here. I think it's a turnoff. I think people just want to sit down and see their players playing hard. And I can't quantify this, but my eyes tell me people aren't playing as hard anymore.
Okay. Right. So let me ask you, you've ripped on the NBA more than anybody in the recent weeks here. Why is that the case? Like, why do you think the NBA is not what it used to be?
I think, okay, it's a money question. I think it's a few reasons. One I gave before, but I'll do this very fast. So you come into the league, you're 19 years old.
Right.
Cooper Flagg, although he said he might actually stay at Duke, which is nuts. But you get right at the top 10. You're not a senior. You're a young kid. So you come in raw, okay? You go to a bad team because you're drafting early. You're raw. Your body is not quite physically developed. Your mind is not physically. You don't know how to play defense because you played 1 year in college. So you're just a raw product coming in. And the more players that come in that infiltrate the league, that has a trickle-down effect on the way the game looks, number one. Number two, I do think that I don't want entertainment to cross over to sports. I know that it does, so I'm not going to kick and scream. But to this extent, I think that players now almost view themselves, I'm going to use the word entities again, they view themselves as entities and corporations, and I'm not mad at them for that because I know I would do the same thing if I was a 25-year-old athlete now worth $190 million minimally. I get it. I understand it. But it's the balance is skewed now, where I think what motivated them to get there has now been replaced by other interests off the court or off the field.
Right. And for me, and there's a lot there, obviously, but if you just simplify it and say, well, they don't compete at the highest of level. We had this exact conversation about the NBA game versus the collegiate game.
Yeah, last week we got into it.
And we went over why we would prefer one versus the other. And the one thing of the three, I think, that we came up with that favored the NBA was the talent, skill level. So the other things favored the competitiveness, whatever, all that stuff.
The ambiance, remember the...
The atmosphere favored the college game. So that's why for me where, maybe it could be they're into other things and they all want to become superstars and mega famous and getting with... certain women, whatever it may be.
Podcasts.
Okay, right. They all got their own podcasts.
Production
now.
Companies.
It's all about everything other than the sport, where back then they did, however many years ago, even 10, 20 years ago, they didn't have those things to distract them, and they just cared about being the best players they could be. Not every single one of them, but a lot of the players. So to me, if somebody says, Sal, why don't you love the NBA the way you used to? I look at it, I don't see a high level of compete. Without competition, we don't have sports. And you know that it's there because in the postseason, teams compete at a high level. And you see it in the NHL where they compete at a high level in the Four Nations and in the postseason. But in the regular season, while it's a higher level of competition than other professional sports regular seasons, it's still not on par with the Four Nation tournament or the postseason. Baseball, same thing. World Baseball Classic, high level of compete. Mets Pirates Tuesday night in August, not a high level of compete. And then teams, and not even just about the lack of effort from individual players, it's about all right, I feel like this guy's had enough. He's thrown 80 pitches. We're going to keep him going. We want to keep him fresh for the rest of the year. We're going to go 5-6 innings on a pitch count, as opposed to a guy would get knocked out of the game because he's your best pitcher trying to win a game that night. You let him go. That is at its core competition. Maintenance day, same thing. You're saying on that given night, you're not competing at your best to win.
It's true.
So then why am I watching? If there's no competition, BT, in sports, then what do we have? Without competition, you've got nothing, is my point.
It's a good point, and it's a point that I'm not here to reject. I agree with you. I would take it this far, and I would even add this to it. When you look at as the level of compete diminishes, guess what else goes with it? Rivalries.
Yeah.
And what makes sports fun? Rivalries. The reason why... Yeah, I know, again, we do go to the well of yesteryear, maybe a little bit too much here, but it's applicable at least to this conversation. The reason why you and I and everybody else that's our age and older or even slightly younger would just run home from school or practice or work, depending upon where you were in life, to watch the Knicks Bulls, the Knicks Heat, the Knicks Pacers, the Yankees Red Sox back in the day. You never knew what was going to happen because there was a genuine disdain, for the opposition. Now everybody's buddy-buddy, and the level of compete goes back. It's just not quite as visible, and there goes the rivalries.
And they could come up with all the different ways to try to make
trick
it matter
it
and put the World Series home field on the line in the All-Star game or do these different tournament things that they're doing in the NBA. It's just... if the level of competition is not there, it's not going to matter. And that's why the NHL is being applauded for what they've done with the Four Nations, because the level of competition was great.
Yeah.
Far better than anything it would have been during a normal All-Star weekend. My only critique with that is, yeah, that's great, but where is that in the regular season?
Yeah, real fast. Yeah. You might know this better than me. Hoff, I think he checked out. Evan would definitely know. So, Ev, I know you listened to the show. If you know the answer, just text one of us here. What was the... And it's not a wrestling thing. It's just to create a point here. What was like the strangest, weakest, lowest point of wrestling? Was it like when they had like Doink and some of those corny characters? Like, I'm just throwing that out there. Like, was it around there?
Yeah,
I think it got goofy and infantile.
Right.
Okay. Doesn't this kind of feel... And then it got very gimmicky. Doesn't it feel like it's gotten gimmicky to the point where whatever that lowest point of in the WWE was, we're here now right. with some of these other sports? Does that kind of feel that way?
Yeah, certainly with the All-Star Weekend. I don't know if the regular season have gotten gimmicky.
Well, think about the in-season.
Yeah, well, that is true.
The NBA, courts, the wacky courts, which I kind of like. I think those courts are kind of cool, but you know what I mean.
The other sports haven't done that yet.
No, but now the NFL is going all across the world. They're going to play an 18th game.
Yeah. And they're making money. And look, maybe the ratings back it up. I don't know. I just know from a fan standpoint, from a fan's point of view, the number one thing that I want to see is competition, and we just don't get enough of that in today's professional sports on a night-in, night-out basis. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name-brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dan is in Brooklyn. What's up, Danny?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you so much for taking the call. I'm a huge WWE and Yankees fan, so you're talking my language right now. about competition. There's two things that I would love to get your thoughts on. The first one is society has changed a lot, right? We talk about the WWE and the Attitude Era versus where we are now in sports, and you think about society. We're always told that something is wrong. We don't really reward grit anymore. Back in the day in football, you broke the quarterback's legs. And I'm not saying you should do that, but the mental psyche of athletes is different today. Take care of your body, play the long-term game, avoid CTE. Great thing.
Yep.
But certainly would not lead you to go all out over 162 games for baseball or 82 for hockey. So the number one is society and where we are, smarter and a little bit softer. The second thing I want your opinion on is hometown pride. I'm 38, born and raised in Brooklyn. Now I live in Chicago. My wife's from Chicago. But when I was a kid, my uncles would always say, the Brooklyn Dodgers were a special team because they were from the community.
Mm-hmm.
They were a part of the fabric of Brooklyn. So when you hear New York versus Boston as a rivalry, I mean, Aaron Judge, I love him, but he's from what? San Francisco?
He's out west, yeah.
So where is the real pride and the motivation to say our guys in New York versus your guys from Philly?
Yeah, but hold on, Dan, one sec, Dan. By the way, you raise outstanding points, but... The Dodgers, I heard the same thing about the Dodgers. Girl, none of us experienced that. That was way before us. So even Jeter from Kalamazoo. I mean, and Bernie Williams, not from here. Like, none of these guys. Ewing's from Jamaica and Boston.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson wasn't from Brooklyn. I mean, come on.
True.
Right. Well, I would just conclude then, maybe the Four Nations is special because these guys can truly say, I am from Canada. I am from the United States. Like Sidney Crosby, he plays for Pittsburgh, but where's his pride? He's from Canada. So, how does he really know the traditions of Pittsburgh and get behind that? You know, it's just an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's true or false, but something to think about.
I think it's a great point. Thank you for the call, Dan. It is a great thing to think about, but don't you then, BT, as a fan, I can answer it my way. Wouldn't you have a problem with that? Like, just because Sidney Crosby didn't grow up in Pittsburgh doesn't mean that he can't get behind the passion of the fan base that loves him and the team that's paying him millions of dollars. Like, how many athletes have we fallen in love with? And Mark Messier wasn't from New York, and yet he's looked at as one of the great athletes to ever set foot in this great city because he got it. He embraced it. It's why we were behind Aaron Rodgers for a long time. He wanted to come here and welcome it. I think that's on the job. That is part of the job of an athlete, to embrace the city and play for that team with a passion, as if you are representing, I mean, you're representing the name on the back as well as the name on the front, but Just because they're not from, you know, it's not a U.S., Canada, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I know exactly what you're saying, and I don't think that that's, and again, that was a really good call, but I would stop short of completely agreeing on that last point because, again, I just, Derek Jeter from sleepy Kalamazoo, Michigan. Did anybody embody, you know, New York City more than him?
No.
Piazza comes in. He was raised in California. Was the Marlins bouncing around a little bit. The playing for the Dodgers, obviously. I think the Marlins was for a week, whatever it was. He felt like he grew up in Bensonhurst, Mike Piazza. you know what I mean? Like, these guys got it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily that. I did get a bunch of tweets. Like, so if you're a Latin player, right, and you're in the WBC, and there's just a couple tweets I got, like, hey, you know, Latin forever, a Met for 8 years, a Yankee for 6 years,
right.
A Red Sox.
I
get that. I understand pride.
But I
think you can, maybe it's naive to think you could have equal parts, same fervor. Maybe you can't, but I don't know. Everybody processes this stuff differently. I just know that we're at a very, and I hate saying this because this is what we do for a living. We're at a very pivotal and a very unappealing point right now in sports.
Oh, okay, so then that's great that you could say Latin forever or USA forever and Ahmed for 15 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But then you're diminishing the product that should mean everything. How can you sell me as a sports fan on 162 games in Major League Baseball when I see an exhibition tournament that doesn't mean anything as far as I'm concerned with the as it pertains to Major League Baseball? Could mean something if you get into that and the representation of the countries. Sure, I don't know what that means. So what does that mean? Does it mean that the country that wins is better than the country that loses?
Not for that year. You walk around with that pride
years. No, but I mean like country versus country, not country team versus country.
Well, like, I got you.
Like, to me, that just doesn't make any sense. And I feel like, okay, so you want to make it political, and that's what it is with USA, Canada right now? I mean, I don't get into that.
Talking tariffs, those boosts were coming.
Okay, but that's probably part of this, right? Mm-hmm. But when I see, as a hockey fan or baseball fan, these exhibition tournaments that are played with much more passion and intensity and competitiveness than the games that I'm supposed to care about, it makes me, as the diehard fan, think less about the sport that I'm supposed to care about from a 162-game or 82-game standpoint.
This is how you know it's bad. Even the sports that are most ferocious, like boxing, I think MMA is still rock solid here, but think about boxing. I mean, what was the last thing that, I don't even know if you guys watched it. I know I watched it, and I had to glue my eyes open because it was awful. Tyson, Jake Paul.
Right.
Like, I mean, now there's, is Mahomes and John Rock, or are they, I believe they're actually fighting, I believe, on Barstool.
I
think they're going to, right? We talked about that when they were, when they bumped in. I'm sure it was choreographed now at the Super Bowl on Bourbon Street. You know, even Conor McGregor back in the day, you know, fighting real boxers. Like, it's even, even boxing can't have boxer versus boxer.
With a competitive.
Yeah.
I know. It's non-competitive. Meanwhile, millions of people watch it. They make a ton of money.
Yes.
And they're going to keep doing it. I can't anymore. Like, I need competition. I think we as sports fans, the one thing we need that's non-negotiable is competition. Tom is in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thank you for taking the call.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, I had to call up because now I completely disagree. I can tell right away that you don't watch hockey because I could just right away. BT, you're a Ranger fan, right?
Nah, I mean, I honestly, I'm not going to say that because I think that's disrespectful to the true Ranger fans.
Oh, man.
Get to your point. No, I'm the Ranger fan of the two of us, but go ahead. Get to your point.
No, I'm just saying. So I heard you say that, you know, you were saying 82 games that guys, you know, obviously there's four nations. Is getting a lot of publicity and is a big deal, but you were saying that the integrity of the sport is not the same through 82 games. I have to strongly disagree because if you watch hockey, you would know, like, guys like Ovechkin, he broke his leg in November.
No, but you're Tom, you didn't hear what I said because you're picking and choosing. What I said was the level of intensity and passion was greater. I'm not minimizing the NHL's care in the regular season. Matter of fact, to have it second, and it could be first, right on par with the NFL, which only plays week to week, obviously. What I said was the level of play in the four-nation tournament was far greater than it is in the regular season, just like the jump from regular season to postseason. So it's not minimizing the regular season, but you can't tell me that the USA-Canada game was not more intense or passionate than Rangers-Canucks or Rangers-Sharks or whatever. No. Pick a team.
No, I would disagree and say that Rangers-Islanders would be just about right there.
It's not. It's not. It's not. I'm sorry, it's not. And I've watched plenty and gone to plenty my whole life. It's not. So you could say it, but it's not. Go ahead. What's your other point? Yeah, no, you're there. Go ahead.
No. The other point I had to make as to the reason why you could say the level of play is, I know that you keep saying there's no reason for the four nations. Like, what is the point of it? But you'd have to realize and know, like, Canada invented hockey, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the United States, we always were the second hand for hockey, and they didn't really.
Tom, here's the difference. Who cares? I don't care about that. What fan are you? Who do you root for?
No, I'm an Islander fan.
Okay,
I'm telling you that the players care.
Okay,
players
that's great.
Care.
So would you rather see Team USA win this tournament or the Islanders win a Stanley Cup?
No, I'd rather see the Islanders win the Stanley Cup.
And so then we agree. So then we actually agree, and thank you for the call. I mean, we agree. I don't understand the point. And you can't tell me, and like, I've watched a million of them, I've been to a ton of them, the intensity that was shown Saturday night specifically. I'm not watching the Four Nation tournament, so I couldn't tell you outside of what I saw, which was the first period of that game.
Yep.
The intensity was off. Three fights in the first 9 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Finland in the other game. Yeah, I'm sure it was not like that.
Now, Rangers Islanders.
Maybe not with fights, but.
There have been Rangers Islander games that have had many fights and passion. I'm not saying that every single Rangers Islander game. Like, there wasn't one or two that's been on this level. What I'm saying, the majority of regular, even though the intensity with Rangers Islanders is strong, it's not on the level that it was on Saturday night. And now you're taking Rangers Islanders, which is one of the big rivalries, certainly for us here.
Yeah, and that's cherry pick. And I think your point more specifically is, you know, take the Devils and the, Hurricanes, take the Devils and the Penguins. Take the Devils and anybody but the Rangers and the Islanders is going to be a drop-off in terms of like that territoriality and that regional stuff. I don't know, man. There might not be an answer. And really, Sal, the answer might just be just to extract the enjoyment that you can. Because I think if you start, and I admit there's a lot of problems, but I think if you as a fan get so hung up on what's wrong, you got to kind of miss what's right. And there's still some right stuff about sports. Not as much as there used to be, but you know.
You just wish that it could be a lot more right than there are. Like, I wish we had that level of competition that we saw USA-Canada every night for hockey. Sick. Or at least close to it.
Yep.
And you do get that in these sports in the postseason. All right, BT and Sal on the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Fan 888-808-1019, the number to call. We got to get into the Aaron Rodgers stuff. You and I had discussed it off the air. We didn't get into it on the air as far as what was the news that was out there that Rodgers basically begging the Jets to come back. So we'll get to that. Also, some of the arrivals. We have to get into Stanton as well. So plenty more to do before we say goodbye. And hopefully we hear from Pete Alonso as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
I'm still standing better than I ever did. Looking like a true survivor. Feeling like a
standing is Giancarlo Stanton, 888-808-1019. What'd you make, BT, of the latest with Stanton? I mean, it seems unlikely. I'm trying to get some of the exact quotes here, but he's dealing with severe pain in both elbows. I just don't understand how a guy who was in as great a physical condition as him, like he may be the greatest physical specimen that's ever set foot on the baseball field, and yet he's always hurt. So anyway, dealing with severe pain, I guess they're calling it tennis elbow, in both elbows for Giancarlo.
I mean, that's got to come from lifting. The fact that it seems to be symmetrical, like it's not like it's one where it was just from throwing or, you know, kind of, you know, when you swing, obviously there's different leverage points and there's maybe an emphasis on one arm more than the other. You know, yeah, he does. He looks like a Greek god, man.
Well, what's your line?
Well, no, not after October. I can't say it. But my line was, looks like Zeus plays like ass.
Yeah,
but,
right,
you know, he had a great October again. And I really do respect Stanton because the one thing about, well, it's a couple things. He always usually rises up when it's October. You got to respect that. The other thing, too, he's very accountable. He is a man who doesn't hide,
right,
who stands at the locker, whether he's 1-for-20 or 3-for-4 with two bombs, or he's hurt or he's healthy. Like, he's always the same. He's emotionally reliable, and he's accountable. And I do like it, but I respect that. Now, thankfully, I don't think they're going to be counting on him quite as much to start the year. You know, because you've got Dominguez, I don't know, maybe this incentivizes them, but maybe to more aggressively pursue somebody like Arenado. I don't know. But he is what he is. He's a bad sell guy, to steal Tiki's term. He's always hurt.
But don't you think that's why you and I had this conversation before last season? Actually, during last season, too, but we had it in the offseason. Your number one criteria, and I was right there with you, like, move on. This is after they missed the postseason.
Yep.
Get rid of Stanton. Like, that would be symbolic of the significant change that we thought was needed. Now, obviously, they kept him, and yeah, he had some moments in the postseason. They get to the World Series. We know that, but it's bigger than just that. He is a problem. Now, maybe he's relied upon less, but you can't say that this year without Juan Soto. Last year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're going to need his power in that lineup. Like, not every single day, and you account for the Stanton, you know, miss 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it is, 4 to 6 weeks every season, but I think they need him even more now. He clogs up a spot when he's there. He can't play the field. He can't run the bases. He's always hurt. Giancarlo Stanton's he's a problem for the Yankees.
He's been a problem for a while.
Correct.
I hear you. And by the way, I think it's going to be maybe a little bit more of an issue this year because the Yankees are more lefty dependent. Austin Wells, lefty. Jazz, lefty. Huh. Belly, lefty. You know, he kind of, you know.
Funny how that changed all of a sudden in a year or two,
yeah,
right?
Finally took him, right. Figured it out after a while. Cashman got some lefty sticks for a 314-foot fence. Brilliant. But, you know, he balances out with that righty pop. And by the way, Sal, this kind of goes back to what you and I were talking about before, earlier in the show today with Aaron Boone. How can we, you and I, anybody, just levy just relentless criticism at Aaron Boone? When, like, this is another example. This is his four-hitter. This is his four-hitter who every year is hurt. And every year he's got to work around the physical problem that is Giancarlo Stanton.
I mean, they're saying that he has not swung a bat in 3 to 4 weeks.
I saw that. I did see that.
How is he going to be ready for opening? And again, does he need to be ready for opening day? Back to minimizing the regular season. Of course, that plays into it. But no, he doesn't. We're not going to yell and kick and scream and go nuts about it. But I mean, come on. What are you doing?
Well, the other problem, too, is, you know, I saw that. That did catch my attention. All right, so it's been a month since he's taken a swing. Now what you have to worry about, listen, I think eventually tennis elbow is going to go away. Even though it sounds very benign, tennis elbow actually hurts like hell. Yeah. Like I remember when I was young, tennis elbow, the rich grandma at the country club just having a few volleys. Oh, my elbow was screaming. No, and tennis elbow hurts like hell, man. But the problem too is now the way his body is built, he's going to be very inactive for a while. And now I hope this doesn't happen, but eventually as he starts to ramp things up, does his body cooperate? Does he pull the intercostal muscle? Does he have some sort of other soft tissue thing as he's trying to get himself ready for the season? I don't know, but it's certainly not a good way to start the season.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It's not going to make or break their year, no question, certainly to start. And I know people still say, oh, I still want him in the postseason. I would want to move on from him. I did a couple years ago. I remain the same on that. A couple home runs in October aren't going to get me to change my mind on that. Tony is in Houston, Texas, talking about the issue that we have in sports, BT, and the lack of competition. What's up, Tony?
You guys are great. I really appreciate you taking the call. And one thing, the fact that both of you seem to be aligned on this really hammers home the point of the genuineness and the depth of it, because the money has changed everything. When I was growing up, the Rangers used to skate at Rye Playland, and I was there, and they were there. They'd come by. I mean, this is years ago, and there was some sense of connection with these people. Now, Soto's making $70 million, but you can see him. He's the, you know, he's the unicorn. He's out there. But take a guy like Al Horford, and I don't know why, but I've looked him up. 18 years, he has been paid $279 million to play basketball.
Now, at least he plays hard, though. I don't know. I'll let you finish. I don't know that's the best example. At least he plays with integrity.
Right, he plays. But, I mean, did you ever in your wildest dreams think somebody would pay him $280 million? At least the government's gotten $100 million of it in taxes. But would you ever think that $280 million to this guy to play functional basketball all your life? When you were watching the Knicks in the early 90s, and they were going out there every night and battling, the money was not that kind of crazy. You knew they were stars that were going to hurt. We loved the Knicks last year. Remember, that's the one delta you got to see. When that team came together in the spring of this year, it was spring of 24, and played so hard, and we hated giving up the guy in the trade, and we wanted him. So that was really a community thing. But other than that day-to-day grind, this amount of money is ridiculous. I thought when Bryce Harper signed a $13 million deal, how can you even look? I know you're getting paid $30 million a year. Great. But how can you look up one morning and go, well, 10 more years of being in Philly every day, going to the same place, doing the same thing for the same amount of money? I mean, it's got to be a grind. Your psychology just doesn't work for it, and the human mind isn't built for that. You guys are both professionals in an industry that's been very dynamic. You've had ups and downs. You've changed programs. You've changed stations. You've changed public. You've changed everything. But that's kind of the dynamic thing that keeps you energized so you do a good job. You're out there focusing not for this job, not just today, not next week, but maybe the next opportunity. And you see it. How can these players
see
it? The money just has to kill.
There's motivation.
Right.
I think it's a great call, Tony, and thank you for the call. So remember last week we had the hypothetical conversation, right? The Giants put up 10% of their team for sale. So we were having the fun conversation. What would you do with $1 billion or whatever? And it's not that I don't love what we do. Like, I love my jobs, right? I love coming here. I love going to SNY, but ultimately they're jobs. Mm-hmm. And I think if you were getting, and that's why in my hypothetical, if I were getting paid $1 billion, I wouldn't do it anymore. You're saying like, no, you love it. You're right. I do love it. This version of me loves it. I also need it to survive, right? It's my way to put food on the table and the roof over the heads and all those different things. If I had a billion dollars in the bank, I would be different. That's why I don't even blame. Now, I wouldn't be a different person. Uh-huh. I would be different as far as the motivation goes. I'd want to maximize the most valuable thing in my life, which is time. You want to maximize that with my daughter, who I don't get to see all the time. So, like, yeah, maybe there's a point over 3 months, 5 months, a year, I'm like, hey, you know what? I want to get back to work. I miss, maybe. But think about these players who are getting paid, not a billion, but what's the difference, really? $30 million a year, $20 million a year. Like, all they probably want to do is get away from their job, which is to play basketball or baseball, whatever, and enjoy their time away with their family and go on a vacations and whatever. Like, it's not their fault. It's human nature. To the caller's point, I think it's an excellent call.
It was an outstanding call. Like, there's the elements of human psychology. I think once you become desensitized to the process, meaning the further away you are from when you first quote-unquote made it, I think the more comfortable people become. And I think once you become comfortable, unless you are very, very special, whether it's a songwriter, whether it's an athlete, you know, whether it's somebody with generational wealth, there's going to be some slippage here. But I do think the overwhelming majority of sports fans, just to bring it back to that for a sec, I think that most of us are okay with the stars getting that crazy money.
Right.
What drives me nuts is you got guys, 7th, 8th, 9th men in the NBA making money that you can't justify.
Well, that's his point about Al Horford, right, who's a nice player.
Yeah, but Al's a champion. Yeah, Al's very good, but he played hard.
He's a good player. Yeah, Otis Thorpe's a champion, too. Is he getting, or Robert Horry? You know, I get them both mixed up. Obviously, Robert Horry. Okay, Robert Horry.
Championship, too.
Yeah, I know. But Robert Horry, great player, champion. Should he be getting that type of money?
But he didn't get that kind of money.
Well, but that's my point, is that Al Horford, I know he's a different style player.
I got you.
Plays more like Otis Thorpe than it is Robert
Horry. Yeah, he plays old school.
But the point is, Robert Horry was a great NBA champion. We never looked at him as a guy who's going to make $200 million.
No.
And essentially, guys like that in today's game, whether you want to go Al Horford or not, they're making a boatload of money, life-changing money, that once you get that one contract, it's over. Like,
It all ends. Now, I remember, you know, he just left us this year. Of course, Coach Karnisek. We'll do St. John's a little bit. Actually, I want to get him coming up.
Yeah.
You know, Louis, when I'm talking about when they were going to the Final Four, Louis was making like $160,000. Now, great, this is a while ago.
This is what, like the 80s?
This is 85, 88, 90. You know, he retired. Mahoney took over in, I want to say, 94. Dude, Louis never making big money.
And do you know what that would prorate to today? Do you have any idea, roughly?
I'm okay with this stuff. I'll give you a decent ballpark. I would say if you were making, because I remember when we were kids, you're like, oh, he's got $100,000 or $200,000 house.
Right.
Now you're living on the street for $200,000. Sadly, I would say if you were making $200,000 in the year 1985, that's probably equivalent to about $650,000 or $700,000 now. So again, you're doing well,
right?
But you got to work. You can't just separate yourself from the rest of society.
And we could also do it sports-wise. Like Keith Hernandez, not that I'm into his personal finances, I'm not, but I'm using him as an example because he was one of the best players in the sport.
Yeah.
And he's still working to this day doing the SNY stuff, which I know he loves doing, whatever. But like, if he were in today's game, or Boomer is another example. Like, if those athletes who were atop their peers in their sport at their respective time were in today's game, they'd never have to work. Not that they have to work, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, I do. I think it depends what you want. Your boy Matt Ryan, I think Matt enjoys talking football.
Correct.
He made as much money as any. Eli still bagging commercials. Eli can go and play golf every day and disappear, but he wants to be he wants to be challenged.
I guess the point is that those guys did not make the life-changing amount of money that today's athletes make back then. Now it's so much that it changes your life, your family's life forever.
Yeah.
Where back then it was a great salary and you have a great life. But
lived in a good neighborhood,
but I don't
drove
think
a nice Mercedes, whatever. But
I don't think it changes forever. Or even if you were a million back in 1988 or whatever.
Get Patrick Ewing. You know, a couple years, Pat's making $4 or $5 million. All right, boom, in half, living in I think it was in Alpine, New Jersey, beautiful neighborhood. Cut that in half with taxes. Bang, agent gets a little pie. His agent was Falk. So instead of taking home $5 million some of these years, it's automatically 2.5. Then it's down to about 2.2, 2.1. You get divorced. That's split in half. I mean, I think Patrick, I don't want to speak out of school. Yeah. I thought he got divorced, but I'm not. Daryl had marital issues. Yep. Doc had marital. Like, so, yeah, but today you can get divorced 5 times and you can still have, honestly, $150 million in the bank.
Right. It's such generational, life-changing wealth with one contract, even for mid-level players in today's NBA specifically, but really in today's sports in general. Brandon Tierney, this Monday, President's Day, as we'll continue the conversation with you about the lack of competition in sports, which is a weird one to have, but it's, I mean, it's the truth. There was great competition at the world's most famous arena yesterday, BT. I know you and the family were on hand to see your Johnnies top Creighton, which should set them up nicely here in the Big East.
You know what's amazing? Yeah, St. John's now is in the driver's seat. They're up 2 on Marquette, a couple of games up on Creighton as well. And if UConn losing to Seton Hall, UConn is not going to win the regular season title.
Oh, I saw that.
I don't know. I don't know how the hell Seton Hall beat UConn there. I think that, well, first of all, you know, yesterday I haven't done what I did yesterday, I think since I entered the business.
All right, so you were not working the game.
I didn't work the game. So there's a couple of games, even though it was a home game, where they'll have like a former player jump in. That's been the arrangement, and I'm fine with that. I can't travel the way I used to because of the show.
Yep.
But I'll still wind up doing, you know, the whole Big East tournament, NCAA stuff, and probably 15 or 20 games a year, right? So it works out well. I went to a game yesterday, and I sat there with a St. John's hoodie and had two drinks. Got a little buzz, too. Those Celtics are pretty strong, man. And let me tell you something. And this goes back. The first game that I ever did was November 13, 2003, at the Guard. It was against Marquette, the coaches versus cancer thing. And the only reason I say that, it's not about me, but I have to establish this. Sal, sitting in that, whether it's doing the game, the Marty Glickman booth, or yesterday, up until yesterday, I have not seen, for a St. John's game, Madison Square Garden that red, that full, and that loud since I was a kid. That's how long it's been.
Now, do you think it's because of, like, was it the fact that they were playing Creighton? Was it because it was a weekend? Was it because it was Johnny's Day? Or just because of where they're at?
Well, they've had Johnny's Day before.
Okay,
I broadcast
so
those games.
That,
yeah. You get a little pop, but right. It doesn't resonate that way. They played Creighton before, and Creighton was good. And, you know, a couple of games where they were, you know, St. John's won. I remember Jakar Sampson played very good defense on McDermott.
If this were DePaul, you know, is that happening?
You know, I mean.
Okay, so did the matchup then, too.
The matchup certainly helped for sure. The ranking now, you know, that one's at the top 10.
Sunday afternoon, no football.
Football's done. The style, Patino, the belief, the awakening that this isn't, I mean, and I've thought it's been more than this for a while, but I think it's catching on now. It's not just a cute story. This thing could go on for a while. Now, they could also go one and done if they shoot 50% from the free throw line again, which they do way too often. But this St. John's team,
I mean,
it
just can't happen, dude.
It can't. Okay. Their defense is insane.
So I read something, I think it was after the game yesterday, I don't know, this morning, that Patino was saying, did I hear it or read it somewhere? But he was basically saying, like, this is not, we're preparing now for the tournament.
Yes.
Every game that they're going to now, maybe I heard it on the morning show. I don't know. Did you hear that, too?
I didn't hear that cut on the morning show.
But I
don't know. I listened to his press game, to his presser. So I know.
I either heard it or read it. Maybe I read it on social media, something like that. But basically that these games, right? He's like, I don't know how the hell we're doing it, missing these free throws and all that. But we are preparing as if it is the tournament now. So this is bigger to him than the Big East. It's bigger than the Big East tournament. It's about the tournament, which is what you want to hear from established experience, as good a coach as there has ever been in the sport, getting them prepared for the tournament already.
It always is for him. You know, it's just, it's never about, and I think I even underestimated this, even though knowing what he's done in year two and all these places, and we all know his career, I think he's the best of all time. I've said that. But I, like, he's even more big picture than I thought. Like, I thought on some level, like, if St. John's, and I knew they'd be good this year because they were pretty good last year. I knew that they'd be better, more athletic. I didn't know how athletic and how good, but they're better than I thought, but I knew they'd be good. But I thought maybe 22, 23 wins the whole year. Yeah, maybe an 8 seed, a 7 seed, mess around, win a game. But like, in his mind, he's here to get to the Final Four. Like, there's nothing else to interpret. He's just thinking, I don't care that St. John's has antiquated buildings and hasn't done a damn thing this century. It means nothing to me. I'm Rick Pitino. Now, he doesn't say that because he's humble. He's become humble. He's even told me that he's become humble as he's gotten older. But in his mind, the moment he took the job, he's thinking they're going to win a championship.
Right.
That's what he thinks.
He believes it.
Yes.
So now I ask you, and I've asked you this before, but it was maybe weeks ago, so we've taken several steps toward a better result since then, right? Like, this was before the UConn game. This was before even I went to the game against, who the hell did they
play? That was Georgetown
Xavier,
game you guys did. No, did you go to Xavier or Georgetown?
Xavier. Whatever.
Huh, what game? Did you guys go to Xavier or Georgetown that night?
I thought
Georgetown,
it was Xavier,
right?
If I'm not. Xavier, it was Xavier. Oh, right, we were supposed to go to the Georgetown game.
Oh, Xavier,
but then we couldn't because Hop had, he was having an appliance delivered. Remember?
Oh,
so,
yes.
So then we ended up going to Xavier. All right, point is, can this team, you know it as well as anybody, can they continue this style? Let's say they improve a little bit with the free throws, whatever. Can this team be a championship team? I'm not talking Big East.
Yeah.
I'm talking championship.
I know you are. Championship right now still seems a little bit much for me.
Okay, yeah.
It's almost, I don't want to say it's irresponsible, but it almost seems, and I'm not trying to dilute your question because it's a great question. St. John's fans want to know the answer to this. And I think more importantly, Fringe fans are very interested in the answer.
I know what you're saying. It's not the be-all, end-all.
Like,
but
it's almost like you want to, especially those of us who have been here forever.
Yeah, enjoy this now.
You want to enjoy it. Like, first, win the Big East regular season crown. Then get to the championship on Saturday. Then sit there on Selection Sunday and be a 3 seed or a 4 seed. Stay in the East. Get regional home cooking. Like, there's a lot of steps. I'll tell you this, though. What's starting to happen now is that their three-point shooting is getting not good. It's never going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's not with this team. It's getting it's trending to a point where it's becoming more acceptable. And the other things that they do well is going to give them a chance to win as many games as it takes to get to the Final Four. And I don't know what's going to, I mean, if you run into Duke and Cooper Flagg drops 40, which I don't think they'd let it, but you never know, or Houston, which is as good a defensive team as they are, or Auburn or Tennessee, like, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I know this. This team is not getting punked against anybody.
And think about it. I guess I could answer the question myself, too. They're ranked 9th, which would mean that.
There you go.
I mean, right. Yeah. So right now, I mean, there are only 8 teams ranked in front of them, which would mean that, okay, maybe they're not going to be a favorite, but who's to say? I mean, what was UConn ranked in the last couple of years before they went in? Were they?
Oh, they were always top 5. Oh, when they won the championships? This year?
The first one.
What elite. I don't know if they started one, but
why
they
do I
were.
Feel like, and maybe we're going back years ago now. With Kemba Walker,
they played Butler. I was actually at that Final Four.
They were not ranked high though that year.
No, that was an overachievement. That was the one with Kevin Ollie. That was a UConn team of overachievement.
So the point is, it can happen.
Of course
you get
it can
these
happen.
Upsets with teams going to the Final Fours out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I'm not expecting it. I just want to know like where we're at right now. Obviously, the front runners to win the Big East. They're going to be the favorites to win the Big East tournament. What happens at the tournament, we'll see.
And I wouldn't say heavy favorites. Right. I would say slight favorites, to be fair.
Over Creighton?
Marquette? I think Marquette's a little soft. I'm not too worried about Marquette. I don't think you underestimate Hurley. I mean, you just don't underestimate Hurley in a big game.
Especially,
you just don't.
Especially looking for revenge.
Yeah, do it at your own peril. I'm not doing that. Danny Hurley is not quite Patino, but in 20 years, he very well might have the resume Rick has. He's that good.
That's this Sunday they play UConn again?
No, wait, hold on. This Sunday. So Wednesday's DePaul.
Right.
Just make sure you show up and focused and you know, don't get beat by an awful team, and they should. And then UConn, and then they even moved the Seton Hall game the following weekend from campus to the Garden because, you know, people want to go. And Rick had a great quote after the game. He said, "These are Knicks crowds." He said, I didn't see this in year two. So even, I guess, at least from the crowd, not from the team accomplishment, but the way, like, you know, I think what's happened is that the old heads have remembered, hey, this is what I fell in love with. And now the younger kids are like, wow, this is what it's like to root for a good team. And it's just a confluence of great stuff.
How were your kids into it?
Oh, my God. They were bananas. Absolutely bonkers. Well, I mean, my son a little bit more than my daughter, but he's absolutely crazy with this. Crazy.
Nice family there at the world's most famous.
It was pretty awesome.
And they polished it off with a win. Yeah, I mean, that's how you want it there.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We have some actually news. I don't think it's good news either. Hoff was whispering in my ear there during the break as it pertains to the Mets rotation. So we'll get to that when we come back. 888-808-1019.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nix Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.